Hi, Stephen Kelman. I'm very happy to speak to you because I called you that summer because I read your book about Henry Rolfe, Redemption, A Life of Henry Rolfe. And we spoke on the telephone, and you told me that there was a new book of Henry Rolfe, an American type, so I read it. And I just wanted to talk with you about your work about Henry Rolfe in this new book. How did you come to be so interested in Henry Rolfe?
People in my generation, I suppose, I discovered Call of Sleep when it was republished in a paperback edition in 1964, and it was hugely successful in terms of critical reception and in terms of sales. And Henry Rolfe, who had been living in obscurity in Maine farming ducks, suddenly became world famous. I was very impressed by the book. I'd never read anything quite like it. I still think it's perhaps the best novel of immigration in American literature. But it kind of percolated in my mind and soul for many years. I did not begin the project of writing about Henry Rolfe's life until a couple of years after his death. I
Yeah,
never.
you wrote many books.
Yes. Excuse me. He wrote to.
No, you.
I have taken on a number of different topics.
I know.
This is the first biography I have written. I had reviewed a couple of the posthumously published novels by Henry Rolfe in the sequence called Mercy of a Root Stream.
Yes.
And I was approached by Henry Rolfe's editor, a man named Robert Weil, with the idea of writing his biography.
Ah, that's why you wrote it.
Yes.
Because there is no biography on Henry Rolfe.
No, there hadn't been. He had been rather reclusive, and people had not paid much attention to him in terms of literary criticism. But after his death, there was a huge cache of documents, letters, journals, manuscripts that suddenly became available through his son Hugh that were deposited at the archives of the American Jewish Historical Society. And I found those a treasure trove, absolutely essential to writing about his life.
Your biography is very interesting, but the guy, Henry Rolfe, do you think he's so interesting as a guy? As a writer, it's wonderful, but as a guy, he doesn't seem so interesting. I had no sympathy with him reading your book, I mean.
I would distinguish between interesting and likable.
Yes,
In
likable.
many ways, he was a rather cantankerous fellow, very hard to get along with,
That's what I'm talking
self-centered.
about, yes.
But I think the arc of his life is fascinating. This is a
Sure.
man who went through the immigrant experience, Lower East Side, then broke with his family, lived in Greenwich Village at a time of great ferment in the arts, then gave all of that up to retire to rural Maine for several decades, then moved to New Mexico for the final years of his life. He suffered what I think is the longest writer's block of any major figure in American literary history, 60 years between his first novel and his second novel.
And do you know any other writer who has not written 60 years so long?
I don't think so. And
So.
I think that was one of the things that really fascinated and challenged me to try to understand that 60-year gap.
Do you think that he needs 60 years to speak about the incest he had with his sister, or is it something else?
Ultimately, that was my theory. I think there were several factors. He himself, when he was interviewed, gave a couple of other reasons. One reason that he gave was that he had joined the American American Communist Party.
So?
At about the time that he wrote Call It Sleep. And at that time, the party was demanding a very rigid kind of writing from its members. And he tried to write a novel consistent with socialist realism. He wrote about 100 pages of it and just gave up because his heart was not in it. So he saw that as kind of a dead end in terms of inspiration for writing. Another reason that he gave in some interviews was his alienation from his Jewish background.
Uh-huh.
And
what does it mean exactly?
Well, after his bar mitzvah, he proclaimed himself an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
He married a non-Jew. He didn't really have any connection to the Jewish community and tried not writing about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, in his 60s or so,
mm-hmm.
he came to realize that that was the only source of genuine inspiration for him.
Mm-hmm.
He became a very ardent Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he contemplated moving to Israel. And I think the inspiration behind the later manuscripts is his attempt to recover what he regarded as his lost Jewish community.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about this relationship to Yiddish now. In Call It Sleep, it's very amazing to see how he produces Yinglish, a kind of specific Yinglish, which is a mixture of Yiddish and English. How do you explain that? It's only the influence of Joyce or something else?
Well, his first language was Yiddish.
Right.
And, he grew up, he went to school and learned English, and I don't think he saw much of a future for himself as a Yiddish writer. Well, he knew Yiddish, obviously. I don't think he read much Yiddish literature. He was most centrally influenced by the great modernist writers in English. And he himself said that James Joyce and T.S. Eliot were his gods in terms of literary influence. It is clear that in Call It Sleep, several of the characters are supposed to be speaking Yiddish, even though
sure.
that is represented by English. But one English critic, British critic named Walter Allen, described Call It Sleep as the noisiest novel ever written.
Noisiest novel? It's interesting. What does it mean?
I think what you find echoing throughout that book are all kinds of voices in different languages. There's basic English, but there are characters who are speaking Yiddish, some speaking English with a Yiddish accent. There's some Italian thrown in, some German.
But would you say he has really a language when he is a child, or he needs to invent a language?
I think he's in the process of inventing his own language. Which
like every writer?
As a writer, yes.
Mm.
Finding his own voice. And it astonishes me that with a first novel, he was able to accomplish as much as he did.
Mm-hmm.
He never took any writing courses. He was kind of a mediocre student in college, and suddenly Call It Sleep, 1934, emerges as a first novel, and I think it's quite an achievement.
Is it a symbol of all immigrants in the United States, or only of Jewish immigrants?
I have taught Call It Sleep at a number of universities within the United States and in other countries, and I'm always impressed by how students from very different backgrounds, for example, Mexican-American
mm-hmm.
students, respond to it and see in the family dynamics of this novel some very direct parallels to their own situations.
Mm-hmm. And for you, what is your story in a few words?
My story?
Yes, in a few words. Just where do you come from?
My background is not all that different from the Roth family.
That's why I asked you the question. I know it.
on one side of my family, my mother's parents came to the United States from Galicia.
What town?
I'm not really sure. I think one of them came from what was then called Lemberg or Lvov.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure about the other side. My father's father came from Romania, and my father's mother came from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of both Galiciana and Litva.
But they spoke Yiddish to you or not at all?
Well, when my grandparents spoke Yiddish,
mm-hmm.
but when my parents wanted to keep secrets from the children, they would speak Yiddish, which motivated me to try to learn a little bit of it.
But
I studied Hebrew and know Hebrew pretty well. Of course, that's not the same language. I can understand.
You understand
Yiddish, but I wouldn't say that I'm a Yiddish speaker.
Yes, but you understand a little.
Abyssal.
So what are you working on? What kind of book are you working now? You published another book recently, yes?
Well, last year I edited this is somewhat similar to Roth, I edited a lost memoir. It was published in 1917 by an immigrant to the United States from Romania named M.E. Ravitch,
mm-hmm.
called An American in the Making. A
mm-hmm.
fascinating book. He came to the United States in the year 1900, lived on the Lower East Side, and then moved to Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and was the only immigrant and the only Jew in Columbia, Missouri. And
mm-hmm.
this book had been out of print for about 30 years. I wrote the introduction to it and edited it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stephen.
You're very welcome.